a diabetes breakthrough.
We can't really know which of the many, many people that this law addresses, in fact, will not participate in the healthcare market, and in fact, will not impose costs on all the rest of us. So the question is, can Congress respond to those facts that we have no crystal ball, that we can't tell who is and isn't going to be in the health insurance market, and say, most of these people will be, and most of these people will thereby impose costs on the rest of us, and that's a problem that we can deal with on a class-wide basis.
That was Justice Kagan that you just heard a little snippet of today, a huge day in Washington, D.C. We were there, Kate Delaney, live from Washington, giving you the ins and the outs of course, one of the biggest battles, certainly, in an election year, and one of the biggest battles, I think, perhaps in my lifetime when it comes to this Supreme Court, especially with the 6 hours of unprecedented oral argument. They wanted a piece of this. They wanted a shot at it. So you've got 9 members on this bench that will be deciding the fate of health care. I mean, maybe the entire thing, the individual health mandate, is huge, needless to say. It could take down all of the health care law, or perhaps it ends up just being scrapped and some of what's already on the books is salvaged. At least that's what the Democrats are hoping. We're going to look at this from all different angles as we did in our previous show, and we have a whole bunch of other things we're going to throw in the mix, too, in this jam-packed hour here on America Tonight. It's interesting. There were a lot of politicians, and I had a chance to talk to a bunch of them. Not surprisingly, they were a stone's throw away from the Supreme Court. You had senators and congressmen who were jockeying to get a seat at the hearing today to be able to listen to what the judges were going to say about the mandate, because this really is the meat, the heart and soul of Obamacare. And Obama, by the way, is now embracing that term, Obamacare. Opponents, of course, saying that the law pushed through by Congress and the fact that it's regulation, it's government that's too far into the business of our business, and then so many others saying, hey, without this law, forget it. Healthcare is too expensive, and it is crippling us, and where are we going with this? You know how I feel. Insurance companies are the big bad enemy. I mean, listen, all of us are taking it in the shorts, frankly, from the insurance companies, and we know that. I don't care what you label yourself as. We all know that because at some point I don't care how long you've been paying premiums and everything else. At some point when you need your health care, you know the nonsense that you go through. So you had maybe 17, 18 Congress people who were in the gallery, if you will. Attorney General Eric Holder was there. You know, pretty much it was bulging at the seams, in other words, the hearing. Outside the court, all kinds of news conferences and protests and those for and those against. Lots of T-shirts today said, hands off of my health care. Then there were others in the crowd screaming that they wanted health care. Probably the wildest day that we'll see of all 3 days. And we're going to continue down this road with you for this show and, of course, many shows to come, because no matter what happens with these judges, there's not going to be any kind of a ruling until the end of June, maybe right before July 4th. And this is going to be when they break for the summer. So we're not going to have any kind of ruling on the individual mandate, health care in general, or any of this until that time. So that means there's months in between for a lot of people to look in their crystal ball and speculate as to what the Supreme Court is going to do. And I did a lot of that today with a lot of constitutional lawyers, a lot of politicians, and a lot of people on both sides of the issue, because it's pretty polarizing without a doubt. Senator Rand Paul, the Kentucky Republican, I had a brief conversation with him in passing, and I'm sure this quote has been heard all over the place, and he was telling everybody this, that it was this is probably the most important decision in two or even three generations. So think about it. Think about where we're at this point and ultimately what's going to happen here. Senator Ron Johnson, a Wisconsin Republican, he was making the rounds, and he said that he felt pretty good, felt pretty optimistic that this court is going to strike down the mandate because he thought the one thing, and this is what everybody was handicapping and looking for in watching the Supremes, because he thought that Justice Kennedy seemed very, very skeptical because Kennedy was trying to poke holes in a lot of the discussion. And if this is the case in trying to get any kind of a signal from what's going to happen, then maybe it ultimately comes down to 5-4. Heading into this months and months ago, and so many of the people that we talked to seem to think that 5-4 is what ultimately the decision is going to be, and that's it for the individual health mandate, and then it's a question of if the whole law stands up or not. But earlier this week, I talked to a ton of other people, Republicans and Democrats, who seemed to think that the court might be wavering from what so many reading the tea leaves thought, and you might get a 7-2 decision. So, you know what the answer is? Who knows? How do you predict this? It really is kind of impossible to predict, and that's why in being there in Washington, it was interesting to try and watch the signs, to talk to as many people as possible, and to talk to some of the constitutional lawyers who were there looking for those signs, listening to what was being said as it was being said to try to get a handle on what ultimately might be decided. Justice Anthony Kennedy, who I just mentioned, said that the federal government is telling, this was a big quote that came out of what happened in the day, is telling an individual he has the obligation, he must act and purchase insurance. And he emphasized, you know, that a couple of different times in different ways. And he said, ultimately, that threatens to change the relationship between the government and the individual in a very profound way. Then there was Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Not a surprise. You know where she's going to go with this. And she said those who don't participate in health care make it much more expensive for everybody else. She certainly, I can clearly say she would support the law and says it's not your free choice to stay out of the market for life. Needless to say, this affects every single one of us. I always say that what's the common denominator when you get in an elevator, and what is it? Everybody talks about the weather. Guess what the buzz is now? It's healthcare. Not that it hasn't been before. Think 2 years ago. Think through those 3 years before that and all the conversations that have been going on, not just in Washington, but outside of Washington. What I think is really interesting is how many people are really sitting up and paying attention and trying to have some sort of say. Now, you don't have a say in this. It's up to the court. But having some sort of say by either standing outside of the steps of the Supreme Court, by weighing in and talk shows around the country once again. I mean, this is high stakes for the administration, and more importantly, it's high stakes for you and me. We're going to keep talking about it next with our next guest, who is going to tell us what it means for employers should this thing be upheld or scrapped. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Your family and loved ones aren't ready for empty grocery store shelves. Will they survive if the system crashes tomorrow? Are you prepared to feed your family when a major crisis occurs? Will they perish from the lack of available food because you procrastinated? Getting self-reliant is the only way to ensure you and your loved ones will make it through the coming hardships. One of the most important survival products that is a must-have is garden food seeds. GetSeeds.net is offering a huge garden in a bag that will give you and your family the food security that it deserves. Our food garden in a bag consists of a whopping 100 packets of the highest quality non-GMO, heirloom vegetable, culinary herbs, and a couple of garden variety of fruit seeds for only $59. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 100 packets of seeds for only $59. This blowout sale will end soon, so call now to secure your huge garden in the bag that is heat sealed for long-term storage at GetSeeds.net. That's GetSeeds.net, or call now at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. Don't delay. Call today.
I like to see you go right across the floor. You can't do that for me. I like to make my food. You can make me
food. All right, we're back on America Tonight with me, Keith Delaney. Talking health care and how it affects you. Keep this number handy, 800-259-5791. But right now, let's get the skinny on what does this mean? Because, you know, there's all angles as to what happens ultimately with what the Supreme Court rules, which I think will be possibly by the end of June. I mean, yeah, you never know. Maybe they render a decision before that, but somehow I doubt that. Paul Bazell's been on with us before. Paul knows all about HR. In fact, he's an HR consultant. And what does that mean for companies? It should either way. I mean, especially if it's scrapped, that's one thing. But if it continues to move forward, what does that mean? That means probably lots and lots of changes. Hey, Paul, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
It's great to be back, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So obviously you're paying close attention to this because certainly this affects what you do in whether or not this gets upheld or it's struck down as unconstitutional, because that will affect companies that you work with and, of course, companies around the country. When did you watch this? Is that what you're thinking about? Are you coming up with strategies that you can tell people that they've got to work on?
I'll say that this day of reckoning was probably foreseeable for anybody that was really paying attention, going back maybe 10 or 15 years ago. The delivery system, employer-based delivery system for health insurance. Most people in the United States get their health insurance through an employer. Costs just death continued to go up and up and up and up and up, and the rules around those programs have become more and more and more strict and more wrought with liability and various punishments and all kinds of really disincentives for employers to continue offering health insurance to employees. So this day of reckoning was in the offing, I would assert, for some time, and it's a pretty exciting time right now because it's all happening, and healthcare reform laws sort of put the whole process in fast gear.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think, I mean, ultimately, as you watch all of this, and you and I have talked about this before, wouldn't it make more sense, especially if you continue to go down this road where it's costing more and more and more, and small businesses can't afford it, and then somebody gets sick in a small business, and that's just crippling, and then they're shopping someplace else trying to get insurance? Does it seem like in the future that you're going to have companies that just say, listen, this is part of your benefit package, here's what I'm giving you for health care, and you're going to have to go out and find your own?
Well, that what you're describing, Kate, is the blueprint, if you will, for the health insurance exchange approach. Yeah, so in the scenario that you're talking about, an employer would take the same approach that they currently take, say, with providing a 401k matching contribution to their employees. This is the amount of money that we can afford to put towards that particular benefit. Now you go ahead and you go out and buy it, in this case, on a health insurance exchange, if they do in fact actually become real in 2014. If that doesn't happen, your listeners might be interested to know that in some states there are private corporate exchanges up and running, and there'll be more of those available in the coming years. So really this change we see is going to happen with or without health care reform law. So this is very exciting. It is truly pivotal in our culture.
So and you're absolutely right. And you're really right in the wheelhouse of this because you're helping these companies. They're going to have to navigate this because you said it. Most people are used to the system where simply you know you're getting the insurance, the employer is paying the other half, boom, that's it. And especially if you're healthy, you're just not really thinking about it. You've got it, you go do your checkups or do whatever, boom, you pay your half, that's it. But that's all changing. So you've got to really navigate these waters. As I was saying, you've had to really look ahead. You've had to forecast ahead to make sure that the companies, if you're working with somebody, that they understand what's happening. I mean, of course they understand what's going on with the fees that keep going up, and they're asking the questions, why, how can I do this more effectively? Is that right?
Absolutely. And there's so much more to it. You know, there's all the discussion about the small employers, but don't forget the big employers. Their costs have gone up to unaffordable levels as well. So the conversations that we're having with our clients, which tend to be medium-sized companies, are really about, okay, if we did take this other route, if we discontinued offering the traditional approach to a group healthcare plan sponsored by us, the employer, how would we do it? What would it look like? What would we do with the money that we save? Is there really money being saved after the penalties are paid? All that is analysis and evaluation and a thought process. And then there's the human aspect to it all. Well, what about our employees? And believe me, everybody likes to poke at their employer as the big, bad, bottom-line-oriented employer, but I promise you there's as much sweat equity being put into the human side of this, because employers really do value their employees at some level, and they cannot afford to have a morale problem or people walking off the job because their health insurance has vanished. So employers are trying to be extremely careful and very conscientious of, if we did this, how would it work for our employees to their benefit? And from our perspective, the benefit ultimately to employees, if we can get past the financial part, is ultimately having the individual choice, so that the scenario that you pointed out earlier, if someone's real healthy, they may make one decision for health insurance, where somebody who isn't as fortunate and maybe has some chronic health problems might make a completely different healthcare insurance decision. And that gives everybody that opportunity to do it and change it year to year.
Yeah, ultimately, Paul, doesn't this point out one thing, that we all have to be responsible for our own health care in a certain sense? Personally, whether you have a family, single, married, whatever it is, you gotta know how to navigate the system anyway. Because even with your employer doing it, they can. Let's face it, half of us, you get handed these books full of gobbledygook that's not from the employer but from the insurance company. So you're always going to, if anything, this points out, is you have to know what your health care is all about anyway, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a part that employers are looking at playing if, in fact, they do get out of the health insurance business. That's something that they can do to help employees along that path, is to provide them the education so that when they do go out and make those choices, they're making good ones.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And that would be key. I mean, if you can have companies set up that way where they can say, listen, here's A, B, C, and D, let me help you, boom, 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 that'd be great. Because I think that's where people really get lost. They're swamped. They're busy. It's not that they're pushing it off. It's that you assume everything's okay. Because of the one thing that I said, a lot of people are healthy and then something happens and you don't even know what covers what. Paul, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll see what happens with Supreme Court. It's going to be interesting. You're right.
Exciting time, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Paul Bazell, HR consultant, and there are a lot of people that are in the same line of work as Paul that are, I'm sure, swamped navigating this, is a great word for it, as we just talked about there, because what's at stake? Ultimately, the Supreme Court declares the law unconstitutional. What does that mean? What if only parts of the law still stand and some's unconstitutional, like the individual health mandate? What does that mean? The next couple of months is going to be debated heavily, and remember, we still have another day for the Supreme Court to hear oral arguments, and you know, the law means one thing to one person and something else to somebody else, and you know where you stand. Are you working yourself as an entrepreneur and getting insurance for your family? Are you dependent on a plan from a company? You know, 10 years down the line, even 5 years down the line, it's all going to look different. And one thing that Paul said is those health exchanges, if the law were to stand, would kick in 2014. Does it mean that you pay through the nose? Does it mean that you pay less? What does it mean about your coverage? That doesn't matter if it's all struck down, however. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to go to Hollywood next with Stephen Shohet. Hang with us.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FloJack hand well pump. The affordable FloJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FloJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FloJack.com, spelled FloJack.com. Be sure to spell FloJack.com or call 855-4-FloJack, 855-4-FloJack. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FloJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Every week we go to the left coast to talk to our pal Stephen Showhead. He has a skinny and a backstory on just about everything, I'm telling you. The Hunger Games, huge this past weekend, breaking all kinds of box office records. Stephen, the Hunger Games certainly is the big buzz. Is this the new Harry Potter or what?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Hollywood executives are so unsure now on what direction to go and what people want. Well, I think now they do have a direction, and that is young adult fiction. They even are calling it the Harry Potter novel. And certainly it's not assured that a movie that is a bestseller for young adults will be a big hit movie. I mean, like The Golden Compass, for example, didn't work out that well as a movie, but this is a phenomenal situation with The Hunger Games. I mean, it's being discussed and being interpreted, and so many people have different viewpoints about it, anywhere from, you know, an exciting thriller that you know, people should see and discuss, to people being disgusted by it being a snuff film. So it's all over the map, how people are reacting to this film.
Yeah, no kidding. Some people think it's female power. I've heard that a lot. Other people think that it's sort of anti-reality tube.
Yeah, you know, Jennifer Lawrence said that she thinks it's a statement on reality TV. If you look at the background, and it's tough to tell what Susan Collins is thinking because the writer, she's not really giving the most interviews. But when she wrote it, she was watching television and going back and forth between the Iraq War and reality TV shows. And she had the idea of merging the two together. And then she was also inspired by the Greek myth to Theseus, who sacrificed himself because in Greek mythology, 14 youths of male and female were ordered to go to Crete to be sacrificed to the Minotaur. So Theseus sacrifices himself and then ends up killing the Minotaur, or substitutes himself for one of the youths. And that's what the character of Katniss does, in the movie in order to participate in the Hunger Games. She sacrifices herself. So all these elements came together. And it's interesting because for me, you know, as a conservative, I mean, I see the villain in the movie as big government. But for Donald Sutherland, who's actually in the movie, he sees it as a parable about Occupy Wall Street. So, maybe people just have to see what they want in order to like the story or to rationalize being involved with the story.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you wrote me a great note about this is what's interesting about a lot of films, that there have been different interpretations on all kinds of films. Even The Dark Knight became sort of a political thing, right?
The Dark Knight, when Christopher Nolan was writing The Dark Knight, he really based Batman a lot on Teddy Roosevelt as a character. He, you know, a rich philanthropical parents, kind of weak as a child, has this tragedy in his life, although Roosevelt's tragedy, losing his wife and mother in one day, wasn't caused by a crime like Batman's was, then goes off and trains himself and then comes back and is carrying a big stick to clean up New York. But when people saw the movie The Dark Knight, they related it to Bush, President Bush. The whole thing about about listening into conversations, the sonar system, and what was necessary to solve terrorism. Now, other people made the argument, well, I mean, Batman tortures the Joker in the movie Dark Knight. He beats him up, and it ends up not working, and he ends up getting false information. So maybe Christopher Nolan was making a statement that Bush's methods don't work, and that Batman is responsible for the escalation in Gotham City, and because of him, that's how the Joker comes to exist, and Batman's causing more harm than good. Christopher Nolan just wouldn't say. I mean, he hinted that Gotham City was a bit like Iraq, but he, you know, as far as I know, wouldn't come out and make a definitive statement. So people are going to see different things. Now, Gary Ross, the director of The Hunger Games, has said that it's a movie about capitalism run amok. And if you look at Gary Ross's past movies, like Seabiscuit, excuse me.
Sure.
When he made that movie, he really wanted to point out that it was President Roosevelt and his New Deal policies giving people hope, just like Seabiscuit is giving people hope. So he's definitely a left of center perspective. But to me, if you see The Hunger Games, it's definitely totalitarian government forcing people to do this thing, participate in this action that they absolutely don't want to be involved with. So there's, like I said, there's all sorts of ways of looking at things.
Yeah, I love that idea. Liberal labels, conservative labels, and you're right, everybody's talking about that with the Hunger Games, certainly.
Right.
And another movie that you threw out, I mean, I thought, wow, that is so true. When I watched Forrest Gump, that's exactly what I thought. You said Forrest Gump was seen as sort of condemning or damning the 60s lifestyle to some people, and I thought there was a thread of that in there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the filmmakers, left-of-center people, Tom Hanks and Robert Zemeckis, absolutely denied it and didn't like that interpretation, that it was a pro-conservative movie, that the Robin Wright character dies because she participates in the 60s lifestyle and gets ill because of it. I mean that Forrest Gump, you know, according to them, was just an innocent character, not a conservative character. But, you know, sometimes I think that conservatives are so starved for something that reflects their view coming out of Hollywood, that they'll latch on to anything. So, you know, that's, I think we're definitely looking to have our point of view represented.
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting. There's a movie. What was the movie that came out? Oh, I can't think of it. It was like last year this time. It's on video now, and that was from a conservative point of view.
Atlas Shrugged.
Yes, thank you. And there's going to be the continuation, of course, of that. So, what, we're going to have one more or maybe two more films with that?
Possibly. I think they are definitely making the sequel, even though the movie was kind of disappointing. And also, you know, I have a friend named James Patrick Riley who has a company called Colony Bay Productions, and they're making a conservative movie. It's called Courage, New Hampshire. So, he's outside the Hollywood mainstream, but he's using Hollywood actors. So there are definitely things, but you can argue about things. I mean, I still find it interesting, like It's a Wonderful Life, for example, what by many people was considered an anti-capitalist movie, even though Mr. Potter really doesn't use capitalism. He uses thievery and steals the $8,000 in order to get Jimmy Stewart into trouble in that movie. And then at the end of the movie, when Jimmy Stewart is bailed out, that's a free market decision by all the people who he helped. That's not a government decision. So, but obviously people who have a different point of view are going to see things differently. So, and there are just a lot of movies like this, and sometimes the filmmakers absolutely don't intend for the message that's taken by the audience to come across. Like the Paul Newman movie back in 1963, HUD, where Paul Newman's character is supposed to be horrible and sells diseased cattle to other ranchers without telling them, and HUD, to the shock of the filmmakers, was considered to be a bit of a hero, making the most money for himself, not caring about other people's problems as he rises up. So definitely, that's one of the things that makes certain films so interesting. And The Hunger Games, I think, certainly is in that category, whether people like it or not. It's a lightning rod.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Stephen Shohead, the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. That would be Anecdotes. I've had too much coffee. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you on. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Kate. Thank you.
All right. Good stuff. Talking about the Hunger Games, the big buzz over the Hunger Games. And as he says, I think he's right. The interpretations of the filmmakers sometimes would flow in there. It makes sense because, and when people say they're objective, and we try to be objective about a lot of things, right? Some of us or some of us don't because we're very black and white. That's got to float into what you do. It's got to float into productions, I would think, in some cases, which is exactly what Stephen was saying. I'd be curious to see what you think about The Hunger Games. Send me your thoughts on that. Or, at americatonight.net, of course, through the magic of Pal Talk, you can also chat with us as well as to what you think that The Hunger Games was all about. And I know a lot of people are talking about a lot of different interpretations. As he said, a lot of different interpretations on what the book was about. And was it about big government? Was it about something else? Or was it just, was it just simply about reality TV mixed into all of it? And I guess that's what makes it interesting. When Harry Potter first came out, there was a lot of debates over that, and still some people believe that there's something a little bit more sinister about Harry Potter, and other people just take it at face value. And it's a fairy tale, a fantasy, whatever, that she didn't have anything else in mind other than telling or trying to tell a good story. All right, the story of healthcare hanging in the balance, that's real reality, folks, who are in Washington, D.C. You can give us a call at 800-259-5791. Do you want to see it ruled unconstitutional or stand as it is and let it flow? Hang with us.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? ExtendoVite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, ExtendoVite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo.
When the big black cop said, look this way, he said, hey, that day, will you marry me?
Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo.
But I said, no, no.
I'll tell you somebody who doesn't care about health care. Of course, somebody who has tons of do-re-mi. That could be the person who won Mega Millions. Did anybody win the Mega Millions jackpot? $363 million. At stake, I'm going to give you the numbers. I'm still trying to find that out. 9, 19, 34, 44, and 51. The Mega Ball was 24. If it sounds like the show has gone off the wheels, that means Matt Johnson won Mega Millions, and I just announced the numbers, and he just found out, and he's left the studio. You know, that's what happens. So much for loyalty if you're going to win the lottery. Imagine the cash option. You take that free and clear, what you walk away with. Woo! Crazy. And, you know, do we know if anyone has picked the winning numbers? I don't think we do. I checked and they still hadn't had that up. Because usually you can find out, they'll pinpoint exactly where it came from. Not the person, but the city that it came from, or actually the state that it came from. All right, so if you didn't win Mega Millions and you don't have a ton of money stored away, your last name's not Trump, you have something at stake with health care. And I don't care if you're a conservative, a Republican, whatever you want to label yourself as, independent, Democrat, whatever, you have to pay for health care, or you don't. You opt out and you don't have any health care and you're uninsured. But most people have some, are trying to have some form of health care, let's say, especially if they're working at a job where they're doing the split thing. I say, and I have said all along, there is no question insurance companies are the bad guys. How many quadrillion dollars do they need to make, and how many sad stories do we need to hear about people who are sailing along fine, have been paying their premium forever, and then something happens to them, some crazy catastrophic thing, and they get dumped. And they argue with the insurance company, and they try to say it was a pre-existing condition, and we know these stories, blah, 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 blah. Or you're like a Blue Cross Anthem in California, and you put your premiums up 35-40%. I talked to somebody today in Washington, and actually they weren't for the individual mandate, surprisingly, but they told me that their health insurance was $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month. And this was for two people. And they were medium healthy. Like, one was diabetic. That's why I say medium healthy. They were in good shape, but one had diabetes. So the question still is, what happens with healthcare? Do you think, let's start from scratch, rip the whole thing up, move forward, let the thing roll out? And ultimately, the Supreme Court does have the final say in this, at least for now, because what they decide, what that ruling is in June, and which is when I think it'll be handed down, will affect everybody. So the individual mandate, even if it is upheld, in many cases, it's going to be very, very unpopular. And if it is a so-called victory for the Obama administration, the chain reaction when it comes to the election will be interesting. I think it'll be interesting to watch. Even those who say the ruling could come down 7-2 in favor of just keeping it, what would happen is so many people would be furious come election time that could lead to a really, really nitty-gritty, down-to-the-wire race with who looks to be Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney's got the golden ticket. Unless somehow he drops it, I can't imagine that he's not going to be the nominee for the Republicans for the in the race to the president, rather. If you want to weigh in, you can throw in your 2 cents, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Lots of senators and Congress folks weighing in. Wanted you to hear what Senator Mitch McConnell, Senator Chuck Schumer, and House Speaker John Boehner's take was on this very historic couple of days with the Supreme Court and this individual health mandate and the health law in general as it's being rolled out, what they ultimately think about it.
Regardless of how the Supreme Court rules on the constitutionality of what I believe is the single worst piece of legislation that's been passed in the time I've been in Congress, it's still a bad idea.
The Republicans were fathers of the individual mandate. Now, suddenly, they want to give it up for adoption on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Employers are sitting on their hands because they're scared to death of what Obamacare is going to mean to their business, along with all these other policies coming out of Washington. Talking to employers around my district last weekend, they made it clear to me that Obamacare is getting in the way of their willingness to hire more people.
All right, so that ultimately that's the scary thing, and that's the thing that that I think is happening, and it's happening with a lot of businesses. Many of you have called who own businesses and have told us that in fact you've had to cut people back, you've had to not offer insurance, and it's a sad story of what's happened with insurance and premiums and just ultimately where it's headed and what the law would mean to you. So day three, the big day, I think, was absolutely Tuesday with the individual mandate, the 2 hours of discussion about that. But also on the third day, you know, we're going to talk about, the court is going to talk about Medicaid, and this is obviously very huge. And before that, the severability as to whether or not you can actually break things up. So meaning, would they, if they rule against the, say that it's unconstitutional, the individual mandate, let's say, but would everything else stay in place, like the pre-existing conditions and children being on your, being able to be on your health insurance, for example, until they're 26 years old, and a couple of other things that have already been rolled out in the legislation, would they be able to stand as is, or would the whole thing, you know, fizzle? So, and in handicapping it, I think it's interesting. I absolutely expect a pretty clear-cut ruling, I think. But what is that clear-cut ruling? You know, they move forward after day one, the anti-injunction thing, the commerce law, forget about that. It was pretty obvious they wouldn't have set to me the 6 hours if they weren't going to do that. But I think by doing that, the tax law and looking at that on the first day gave us a glimpse of what ultimately some of these judges could decide. I mean, you got a couple of wild cards in here, and you got a couple of, you definitely know what, you know, how they're going to, I think, rule. But ultimately, it's the question of what does it mean to you? What does this mean to you as this is happening, as this is rolling out, and you have 9 justices looking at health care and the individual mandate and the whole entire piece of legislation, actually. And, you know, the heart of the law is whether or not this is constitutional. To me, that's it. Is it constitutional or not, period? And, boy, looking for those clues, that was what it was all about in that courtroom for those 2 hours, trying to figure out, because certainly the court is fully aware of the consequences of this eventual ruling. Very aware, I think, of you know, there's a thing about wearing the robe and how they're perceived in history. And I think that all of them care very much about that. You know, it's like Chief Justice John Roberts. A lot of people think that John Roberts is a guy who could vote to uphold it. But yet, what he said in court on Tuesday is all bets are off. He said if Congress could regulate health care in the name of commerce, he said, all bets are off. I think that's a glimpse into why he will toe the line, not go in the other direction. You can send me your thoughts at americatonight.net.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Is this a business decision or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?